Section 3. The Lord is my light and my salvation. There in 27:1 is where I get that from. There are those who would say that I am taking David's example too far. That David lived within the context of a fledgling nation 1,000 years before Christ, a time when the saint had to be more militant, let's call it. That we now live in a time when Christ has completed his work of salvation. Well, blessed are the peacekeepers. We are citizens of a new eternal kingdom, that we need not get tied up in the affairs of state and nation. That I'm calling for a much more militant form of Christianity than Christ, that Christ did not intend for. I'm not calling for a more militant form of Christianity. I'm calling for a Christianity that is well versed in standing for what is right, for the righteousness of God, the rights of the poor and the oppressed, justice for whom it is due, tested and proven by God and man to be established, established in a substantial love and moral integrity. In the light of our risen Savior, whose desire for saints is unchanging yesterday, today, or tomorrow. I'm not calling for the drawing of swords and arrows. Ours now are the more effective spiritual weapons that we have to have girded about us, ready to run the race, fight the fight, win the crown ahead of us. David's time here is a time identical to our own, the same Lord, the same enemies. He fought for his nation to possess the victory won for them by God. We fight for the new kingdom to possess the victory won for them by Christ. When David says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Verse 14 there. It is not to mean sit quietly doing nothing. Be courageous there until I come and get you. There would be little need for courage if we all were just to wait and sit still. Wait means to gather together. Wait means to collect. Means to twist and bind the strands into bales or into ropes. That's what we're supposed to be doing unto the Lord. When David says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies." Verse 11. It is not to mean while you're sitting there waiting for me, read a few books, listen to a few podcasts, and learn how to straighten your own personal life out enough to come and join me. Teach me means to show me because I don't know how else. Enemies are coming from every side. Lead me means to let me follow you through this straight and narrow because my lead is not going to help us. Enemies means that I am likely doing something for the Lord that others would rather not have me do. What is it that they would not have me do? Stand in their way, armed with our Lord's righteousness, not allowing them to do what they have plotted to do to all God's children. Where else can I be doing this but the public fields and arenas that they, the enemies, have chosen to attack us? Wasn't it Jesus who said, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness"? Blessed are those persecuted for righteousness. Righteousness there means equity of character or act. Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you. Why shall they revile us if we're hiding in our peace-loving, compromising corner? They should be thanking us. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you. Why would they persecute those that have assisted their cause all along? Those who revile you, those that persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my name's sake. It isn't for his name's sake that we seem to be doing this. It's for our own sake that we have bowed before them. Wasn't it Jesus who said, "And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me"? Is it that we are offended by what standing for his righteousness might call us to do or sacrifice? Answer me this. David writes here in verses 5 and 6, he says, "For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore I will offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord." So answer me this. What trouble will it be that he shall hide our inactive, socially pacifist generation from? What enemies will he have this generation to lift their heads above? What sacrifice will our joy come by and that we might sing praises about? There you see, there is a problem with the way that we have comprehended this psalm or this meditation. We have been courageous about things there is very little need for us to be courageous about. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Verse 1, my light here and now, my light long into the eternal future. And the Lord is my salvation, my eternal salvation, and my deliverance now, surrounded by his enemies. Whom shall I fear? Or whom shall I revere? Or better yet, we could translate it, who shall I tremble and bow before? He says, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Also there in 27:1. He is my strength now because here in this present battle, I really need it. I have no strength of my own. He is my strength, not me or my strong character. Not my short or long sword. Not my bow or my shield, nor my helmet. Not my horse, nor my man on horse beside me. Not my commander, nor 100 commanders with all their strategy and positioning. Not my pastor, not my church, not my denomination. He is my strength. Christ is my strength. Christ alone. He that is now embattled, and he that wins the final victory. Of whom shall I be startled? Well, how about this? Verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord.